Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Loudermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer for HowStuffWorks.com.
Today we're talking about killing a hurricane, or at the very least, kind of maiming it.
Right. It reminds me a lot of the Godzilla movies. Have you seen any of the Godzilla movies?
I have not seen the Godzilla movies. I'm sorry.
Well, generally the whole idea is that a giant monster is rising out of the ocean.
A lizard, right?
Well, I do know that much. Well, yeah. In the case of Godzilla, giant lizard. This giant lizard is rising up out of the ocean and coming towards the city. And when he gets there, he's going to destroy lots of stuff. And the movie comes down to, can we stop this monster from carrying out this attack? Okay, well, a hurricane, kind of similar.
It's a Godzilla. Okay.
Yeah, it's a giant cyclonic storm that spins out from the tropics, feeding on warm ocean waters, and a lot of the time ends up coming closer and closer towards major centers of population in coastal areas.
Right, and then they also have that low atmospheric pressure that's trademark, the high winds, the heavy rain, all that stuff that's associated with that hurricane.
Yep, they're spinning, feeding off all that warm water, and warm air is being sucked towards that low pressure center and rising up at the eye of the hurricane, and basically like a big column of low pressure air rising into the sky, where it then disperses in storm activity.
Yeah, just think of that quintessential shot on the weather station that we've all seen, with the hurricane spiraling in and headed ominously for some coastal destination near you. So hurricane season runs, just to give you guys some quick facts, it runs from June through November in the northern hemisphere, and then down in the southern hemisphere, obviously, it runs from January to March.
Right. And in the Godzilla movies, they tend to try and slow down the monster, stop the monster one way or another. Mm-hmm. With hurricanes, we really haven't had many options as far as stopping the hurricane goes. Generally, it's more battening down the hatches or
evacuate.
Just evacuate.
Get the heck out of there.
Yeah, just get the heck out of Dodge. That's all you can really do. However, there have been plenty of times where people come up with sort of harebrained schemes to try and stop the hurricane, or, like I say, slow it down.
Right, right. I mean, because hurricanes can be pretty crazy. I mean, they can kill a lot of people. I think the biggest one on record in terms of loss of life in the U.S. was 8,000 people, and that was back in 1900 in Galveston, Texas.
Wow.
And costliest, of course, is Hurricane Katrina, which resulted in about $80 billion in property damages.
So slowing a hurricane down or stopping it, I mean, it makes sense in terms of of human life and damage.
Yeah, so what are some of the ideas that people have put forth on the table?
Well, under natural circumstances, a hurricane's not going to stop until basically it runs out of food.
Okay.
Until it no longer has warm water to feed off of, which generally means that it either ends up going into cooler areas and just disperses into more manageable storm activity. More manageable storm activity. Or it actually makes landfall. And of course it's on land there and then it disperses as well. But if it makes landfall, obviously you've kind of lost if it hits a city.
Sure.
So, one way is to simply take away that warm water and replace it with cool water. So one method of trying to do that.
Sticking a giant water pump essentially on the bottom of the ocean.
Basically, sticking a giant water pump on the bottom of the ocean or trying to create a giant bubble of cool water. Because underneath all that warm water that the hurricane's speeding over, there's plenty of cool water. It's just a matter of can we get it up?
Bring it to the surface,
right.
Sure.
And that, the only problem there is that would entail a whole lot of effort. We're talking like massive pump system. A lot of pumping or technology that we just don't have, or at least don't have on that scale.
Yeah, to give you an idea, I mean, Hurricane Katrina, at one point, her diameter was measuring roughly the size of the Gulf of Mexico. So that's a pretty big undertaking.
Yeah, even if you're not going to try and cool the entire Gulf of Mexico, just cooling a large enough area to have any kind of impact on the hurricane, I mean, it's just a monumental endeavor.
Right, and that's not even mentioning the effect on the wildlife, who would probably react pretty badly to it.
Yeah, I think we have enough crap on the bottom of the ocean that we don't need to add more pipes and whatnot. So that's one method that we're not really looking at too closely anymore. Another is, instead of coming in underneath the hurricane, coming in from above and dropping absorbent powders. Super absorbent powders. A lot of this is pretty much the same idea as cloud seeding, which the U.S. and China have both engaged in.
Sure, China did it. We wrote an article about it.
Yeah.
Can China control the weather?
Yeah, because they didn't really want clouds over Beijing during the Olympics. And if there are clouds over farmlands, they kind of want those clouds to go ahead and rain down and water the crops. So the idea is basically a hurricane's made out of clouds. And if you can turn those clouds into rain, you are effectively taking out the legs of the hurricane.
Sure, sure. So you're sucking the moisture out.
Right. So, you know, we're talking dropping like a lot of potassium chloride, or if you're going to use some of the more regular cloud seeding materials, silver iodine crystals, dropping those into the hurricane.
And again, this would be a massive undertaking. The guy is a gentleman by the name of Peter Cordani, if I've pronounced his name right. He was thinking that it would take about 400 tons of this super absorbent powder. And then, you know, just flinging it.
How do you even get it up there? I guess just look plane after plane or.
Not clear on that.
From and space, maybe?
I don't think he was clear on it either because he said, and I quote to the Chicago Tribune, "The only thing we don't know about is the impact on a hurricane and the after effects."
Oh.
So
we just don't know if it'll work or anything, basically.
Yeah.
That's the only flaw in that plan.
Yeah. I do like the idea of the super absorbent powder, though. It's kind of like talcum powder. Here's another pretty interesting approach is why don't we just, you know, lodge a or hawk a nuclear weapon smack in the center of a hurricane?
Yeah, who thinks that's a good idea?
Well, I don't know that anyone thinks it's a good idea, but people always bring this up. People love to throw nukes at our problems. And okay, so one major flaw with this is we have no idea if a nuclear weapon could alter a storm's architecture. Really no idea. And then the side issue of all that radioactive fallout from said nuclear bomb and then taking advantage of the hurricane force winds that would do a really great job of dispersing that all over the environment. And
so all we've potentially done is made a already dangerous hurricane radioactive.
Yeah, essentially. And then the other part of it is I don't even know that a nuclear weapon would be strong enough. I read this stat that said a fully developed hurricane can release heat energy at this crazy rate. And here is the rate. 5 to 20 times 10 to the 13th watts. So that's totally unquantifiable to anybody listening, even to me who's reading it. But that's equivalent to a 10 megaton nuclear bomb exploding every 20 minutes.
Wow. So we're not even talking like dropping a singular nuclear weapon into a hurricane. We're talking an all-out nuclear strike on a hurricane.
Yeah, on a single storm.
Wow.
Yeah. So So strike the nuclear weapon approach too.
All right, so that's not going to work.
What else do we have?
Well, one idea that's come out in the last year or so, and is getting a fair amount of press here and there, is also kind of macho, kind of manly, and that's that you have a hurricane approaching the city. Well, you just get a couple of fighter pilots to jump in some planes.
And supersonic planes
and fly into that hurricane at about Mach 1,
mm-hmm.
do a few loops around the eye of the hurricane, and then get out of there. And then bam, you'll either slow down the hurricane or disrupt it enough to where it just disperses.
So how would this work exactly?
Well, supersonic hurricane neutralizing, or supersonic hurricane suppression, which is a great name. Yeah, it depends more on the supersonic side of it and less on the airplane. Because airplanes flying in a hurricane, they might as well be insects.
Sure.
But when an airplane breaks the sound barrier, A, it produces that, magnificent sonic boom. But it's also creates this conical wave, this shock wave of pressure that comes out from it. And this pressure can be pretty strong. To put it in terms you can sort of relate to, if you're standing on the seaside, just the atmosphere around you is exerting about 14.7 pounds per square inch pressure on you.
And you don't really notice it.
It's just there. An F-4 Phantom flying at a low altitude, though, the shock wave from that plane can, if it's going Mach 1, can exert about 144 pounds of pressure per square foot. And just 16 pounds is enough to potentially damage windows or structures. So
that's a pretty dramatic increase.
So right, yeah, it's not so much the planes; it's the fact that you would have this basically this worm of expanding pressure moving around in the hurricane and
disrupting the pressure enough to essentially kill or alter the hurricane. Is that mm-hmm. the idea?
Pretty much. And the guys behind this, I believe they're out of Ohio.
Yeah, University of Akron in Ohio. It's a Russian guy by the name of Arkady Lenov, I believe.
Yeah, Lenov is basically highlighting two key ways of taking out a hurricane. Mainly, a hurricane, at least in the northern hemisphere, is rotating counterclockwise. So the idea is you fly these planes in going clockwise. It's like if you stick your thumb up into a ceiling fan to try and stop it.
Because that's always a good idea.
Well, not sticking it straight up, but basically you're applying opposite pressure.
Okay.
So, the hurricane's moving one way. You have your fighter planes come in the other way with all this pressure from the shock wave that comes out from them. And the idea is that you either slow them or you even stop that turning entirely.
That's a pretty awesome task for them to undertake.
Yeah. But the key is the pressure. And this guy's claiming that just two planes could do it, just like two F-4s.
I read that as well. That would do the trick for a regular hurricane. Okay, so this one seems to have some problems with it as well. I'm sorry, Russian guy from University of Akron.
But he's also saying that he could fly a couple in at a low altitude, and it would basically accomplish the same thing as the pumping, the water pumping option.
Oh, so another side
earlier.
Benefit.
Right. It would disrupt the water and cause an upwelling of cooler oceanic water that would, again, take away that warm water that the
Right, so sort of similar to that giant water pump idea.
Yeah, and it would be kind of a side benefit.
Okay. Well, right, so this approach has problems, right? So how long do you have to fly the plane around there? I mean, how many passes do you have to do? What if it runs out of fuel? I mean, these guys consume fuel like it's nobody's business.
Yeah, jet fuel ain't cheap. And is it indeed? Is it going to be a matter of a guy flies in, 15 minutes later, he's, there's a dead hurricane falling behind him? Or is this like wave after wave of flights,
Not clear. Not clear at all. Also, which storms do you shoot down?
Yeah. Not all of them, surely. And do you wait till they get, close enough to harm just the United States, or do you get them when they're about to hit Haiti? When it seems like politics becomes involved there.
Yeah, meteorologist is God.
Yeah,
doesn't seem like a good idea. And then, so really, which storms and when do you shoot them down?
Yeah, how long do you let them play out? Do you wait till it, hits a certain category before it's deemed a danger?
Well, and the other thing is, why not let Mother Nature blow off a little steam every once in a while?
Yeah, I mean that's a key criticism for a lot of these ideas that are out there. People saying that, hey, hurricanes, they're natural. They're not radioactive monsters rising up out of the ocean. They're no Godzilla. They're no
Godzilla.
They are a natural part of the environment. And they do important tasks like watering crops. I mean, when a hurricane makes landfall, it may destroy a city. But it's also bringing a lot of rain for a lot of plants.
Albeit in a massive flood, but... Right. But yeah, no, it definitely does bring much needed water.
Yeah, and if we don't let the weather release that all that energy in the form of a hurricane, how is it going to be released, you know?
So, what I take from this is Godzilla is not always a bad thing. Is that right?
Right. Sometimes Godzilla is a good thing. You need a little Godzilla from time to time.
So, if you want to read about hurricanes and all sorts of monsters and other things that Mother Nature can throw at you, go to howstuffworks.com.
Right, or check out our science blog at blogs.howstuffworks.com.
Thanks, guys.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.